Welcome back to Start Kyle Orton. I'm Travis. With me, as always, is Kyle. Last week, wink, wink, nod, nod, say no more, we talked Q about the offensive line. We had a very fun episode, and you fucking people disrespected it. You want to hear about running backs. You want to hear about wide receivers. I know what you people want. All right, you want Kyle to talk about the data on a fucking wide receiver, and we're going to do it today.
Yeah,
Kyle, we're going to talk running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, everybody who isn't a quarterback or an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the two deepest groups in this draft are arguably the two groups that make for, in most people's opinions, the most boring kind of draft imaginable. Because if I have to, gun to my head, if you tell me which two positions are going to produce the most successful players from this draft, I'll say offensive guard and defensive tackle. Those are two deep groups in this draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
And that's it. So, because I mean, in, 2023, the first draft that we covered on the Scottcast, that was a draft that it lacked some star power, I feel like, at a lot of positions, but that was a truly, in my opinion, deep draft. Like, we talked about the wide receivers in that class, whereas, people were talking about, Quentin Johnston and stuff. Like, can he be a number one receiver? There's not really a number one receiver type here. Zay Flowers is fun, but is he really going to be, a team's number one? But at the same time, that was a deep wide receiver class in terms of slot receivers and secondary guys. There was a lot of value, and history has shown this. There's been a lot of value there in that second, third round for those guys in that draft. Yeah. I don't think that this draft even has that, man.
Yeah, agreed.
There's one headline wide receiver, and depending on what you think of Travis Hunter, and we'll talk about that next time, I guess. But I don't know. Travis wants to talk about
maybe we'll talk about it this time. We both seem to agree that he's going to be a DB in the NFL, right?
I think Travis Hunter. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into that in more detail whenever we do get to it. But I think Travis Hunter's best fit is a defensive back who dabbles at wide receiver.
Yeah,
and not a wide receiver who dabbles at DB, but. Yeah, that's not where we're at right now. We're discussing the skill positions, such as they are, on offense in the 2025 NFL draft. And I guess I would say the third position that is deep in this draft is the running back position, which presents an enigma, a conundrum, a paradox, if you will, because also in a draft so bereft of blue chip talent, one of the guys everyone agrees is a blue chip talent is a running back. So on one hand, you maybe have the best argument ever for taking a wide receiver or a running back high in this draft because who else are you going to fucking take? But at the same time, are you really going to spend a first round pick on a running back when there's going to be some talented dudes in round two, in round three? I don't know. So it really depends on how you measure those things. So do we want to fire off our running back rankings? Do we want to go shot for shot there? How do you want to do this, Travis?
Oh, our legendary running back.
We didn't even talk about running back last year. We skipped the position entirely.
You're right.
We straight up said find a different podcast for that. So this week, it's been 2 years since we've had running back takes. You had your Devin Achane hot takes a couple years ago. You feel pretty good about that.
That's right.
I was a big Zach Charbonnet. I was a big Zach fan, big Zach guy.
Yeah.
And when he's been healthy, he's been pretty good for Seattle, right? I haven't really looked. I'm going to be honest. I didn't pay much attention to the Seahawks this year.
Only thing I know about him is he's been a fantasy disappointment. So I don't want to say, I don't know what he's been on the field, really.
I mean, I've disappointed a lot of fantasies, too, so I can't judge that fellow, right? Hey-o!
All right.
Yeah, okay.
I guess we have to start at the top. This is the maybe relevant choice for the Bears, right? It's obviously Ashton Junte.
Time out. Mr. Charbonnet had 569 yards rushing, 340 receiving, and he had 9 total touchdowns this year. That's not bad.
It could be worse.
It could be. I mean, in today's running back environment, that's not bad. You people are being too hard on
this economy. You want more than 500 yards rushing? Come on.
We're putting a tariff on 1,000 yard rushers, folks. All right.
Can't have foreign footballs coming into this country.
Oh, yeah. Can't have the foreign balls. We're going to protect good American balls.
Wholesome American balls. That's
what we will produce more American balls than ever before. We're bringing the balls back. We're bringing them strongly.
125% tariffs on the forward pass. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bears Bears were ahead of the curve on that policy. Anyway. Right. Yeah, no, okay. Let's start at the top. Let's get your Ashton Johnny takes out. Let's get him out. What you think, Travis?
So the question around Jonte is not like, is he the top running back in this draft? It's how good is he compared to other running backs? And it's if he's sitting there and maybe, like, is he going to be sitting there, I guess, at this point? Is he going to make it to 10? If he's made it to 10, you have to think all the other guys we think our automatic picks at 10 are gone, right? It feels almost impossible that, like, Will Campbell is still there if Jonte is there. Like, what happened? Right. What the fuck happened, right, in a draft that has both of those guys still there?
Right.
So it's really about will he fall, and it's about, like you said, can't I just pick a pretty darn good running back in the second round where you would normally pick a running back anyway, and just pass this Jonte idea off to somebody else? We've been talking about him for months now, I think, because you were kind of like, guess what? The Bears are taking this guy if he's there. Like,
I mean, again, we're talking about Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
And we love Ben Johnson, folks. They come up to me with tears in their eyes. They're saying, Ben Johnson, he's the coach of the Bears. He's beautiful. He's going to bring us the forward pass. It's great. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run it strongly. But he was there in Detroit when they took Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, and we were there, folks. There's a live recording of our reaction to that. We laughed, we scoffed, we guffawed.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I still don't know that Jahmyr Gibbs is an amazing player.
It was a bad.
I think. You know what? Here we are doing my favorite thing, which is saying where people wanted to laugh us, say we're wrong. We weren't wrong, folks. We were right, but you listen to the wrong things. You make the wrong assumption. We said about every single pick the Lions made in that draft that they took a good player like 20 picks before they should have taken.
Right.
Every single one of these players is good and will instantly make the 2023 Detroit Lions a better team. And in 2026, you're going to wish that you had taken Jalen Carter instead. So, and I still think that's accurate.
I think it's still true.
Especially with his injury this year.
Yeah, with Aiden Hutchinson out, can you imagine the Lions surviving, perhaps, with a Jalen Carter on that defensive line? But yeah, I can't believe the immediate backlash we got. There were two Iowa Hawkeyes taken. It's not like I was like dunking on the players they took.
We said Captain Jack was the best linebacker in that draft, but it was still like you took him too high.
You took the three positions that are not worth it in the NFL.
The one pick we agreed they took in the right spot was LaPorta.
Yeah.
We said Brian Branch was the best safety in that draft. I mean, they were good players, and they chose the best player at the four lowest value positions. And that I guess we still have a couple years left for the jury to officially come out on those moves. But I still feel like if the Lions window looks like it's starting to close this year, you can pretty much say like that was a mistake on their part to choose. To go those particular routes with those picks. Anyways, rounding back.
We got off on a real
Ben tangent. Johnson. We always do. That's the best.
That's our charm.
But Ben Johnson, he was part of the regime that took Jahmyr there at 12.
Yeah.
And we know he likes to run the ball, Ben. That's he likes to play action off the run. We know he likes to throw.
He hates DeAndre Swift.
We know he hates DeAndre Swift. We hate him. Yeah. He hates him very much. And I mean, Can't we understand that?
We're kind of with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, everything you hear about Ben Johnson is that he is ridiculously detail oriented. He drills things to perfection. And, you know, obviously he's a great offensive architectural mind. So I can only imagine the frustration when this man has drawn up a 30 yard cutback lane for DeAndre Swift and he dances and gains 2 yards. I get it. I understand that. So yeah, it seems like it wouldn't be a surprise if Ben Johnson there at 10 was like, you know what, let's just fucking take this kid. Let's take the running back.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally see that. one would think that it just felt like such a Dan Campbell move at the time. You know, like, we're going to get a running back. We're going to get a tight end. We're going to get a linebacker and a safety. Oh, it's going to be like, it just felt like
all,
a Dan Campbell.
These are all positions that rank high in the kneecap pulling categories.
Yes. It felt like the positions that, you know, your high school coach would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is what we need, baby. Like, no flash, no glitz, or no glamour. I'm hoping that's the case. But honestly, this draft is so bereft of talent. If Jonte falls to 10, you can't really fault the Bears for taking the guy. Now, the question is, the question I've been asking you for months is, how good does a running back have to be for it to be a slam dunk pick? And in my opinion, what I've been telling you now is, I think the best running back prospect I've ever seen in my lifetime, at least, come out of college, I was not alive for Barry Sanders at Oklahoma State, was Saquon Barkley at Penn State. Watching Saquon Barkley every game, it was like, why do they ever pass? It just felt like he had it all. He could not miss in the NFL, and that worked out. So there's one.
Did it work out though? Because
we're gonna get to that. Number two is Adrian Peterson, right? Even as a freshman, Adrian Peterson was throwing everybody around at Oklahoma. He was a complete force of nature. And that worked out, right?
That one worked out.
Question mark. And then number three to me, and I think you agree with me here, is Darren McFadden. Darren McFadden was an obvious slam dunk coming out of Arkansas.
We loved Run DMC, didn't we?
Run DMC was amazing. He had all this hype, and then it didn't work out. Didn't work out for Darren McFadden, and there's a reason for that I'm going to let you talk about, Kyle, because you're big on this point. But even when we talk about the other two, first of all, this means Jonte would have to be in their league for it to be like a guaranteed slam dunk. This guy is going to work, and I don't think that. I don't think he's even in Darren McFadden's league as far as a prospect goes. So I think that's straight out. He's not a guarantee, right? He's very good. When we talk about taking a running back, and you were alluding to it there already, yeah, Saquon Barkley worked out for Saquon Barkley. He didn't do shit for the New York Giants.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, he didn't work. And granted, people are like, well, that's the Giants' fault. They were a bad organization around him. Maybe they're a bad organization because they did stuff like use the second overall pick on a running back.
Interesting point, Kyle. I would like to second that point. Maybe the organization that would draft Saquon Barkley that highly, or say the organization that would draft Bijan Robinson that highly, when they already have a really good running back on their team, is just destined to be like bad to like a high point of mediocre, right?
Yeah.
Just good organizations don't draft running backs that high, and Poles has been that way the entire time he's been here. Certainly, he's ignored running back except for one pick, middle rounds on Roschon Johnson. He tried to solve running back, I guess, last year with DeAndre Swift. That was a massive swing and a miss. Now the question is, does he just course correct here? Does he overcorrect? Like, well, I fucked that up. Like, I better just take the guarantee. Or does he say, no, the problem is I overspent on a running back because that's the thing that I wasn't going to do. Now I did it. It didn't work out. What's wrong with me? We could have just run Roschon Johnson for all the DeAndre Swift experiment was worth. Kyle, I would love for you to talk about Ashton Jonte. I feel like we've had a lot of good conversations about this guy.
I mean, first of all, he's a very good player. He is, in my opinion, obviously easily the best back in this draft. But from a football standpoint, I have some concerns that, like, I don't know that I see the potential traits of a dynamic receiver, but I don't know that he's put that on tape yet, really.
Yeah.
And I think, again, if you're going to go number 10, you cannot be... Like, you've got to be fucking LaDainian Tomlinson, man. Like, you got to be Matt Forte, at least. I got to trust that I can throw you the ball. And especially in Ben Johnson's offense. And I'm not 100% sure on that. And I think you made the reference to Run DMC, Darren McFadden, because my other concern is the tread on the tires. There have only been... three running backs taken in the first round in the last 15, 16 years or so, maybe it was last 20, who had as many touches in the NFL or in college as Ashton has had in his time at Boise State. None of them were particularly successful players. Darren McFadden, you know, he had a couple good seasons, but Darren McFadden was overall a disappointment compared to where he was drafted. D'Angelo Williams, a guy that you loved. I know you fucking loved D'Angelo Williams.
I did love D'Angelo Williams.
But again, overall, mostly a disappointment for where he was drafted, and also after Carolina gave him that ridiculous contract extension. And I think the other one, and then I think it was Ashton Jonte. So, I mean, two guys that, you know, it's not that you can necessarily point to the tread on their tires from college as to why they didn't really succeed in the NFL. But again, I mean, I think it matters. Overall, this is a guy that you're talking about a position with a short shelf life to begin with, and this is a guy who might have already fired some, might have fewer bullets left in the chamber than even the average running back prospect because of how often he was used in college. So that's a consideration. And the other thing is that, you know, the 10th overall pick last year got 4 years, $22 million guaranteed. So what is that, like $7.5 million a year, $7.25 million a year? That salary for a running back is already 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that'd be the 10th highest annual salary for a running back in the NFL right now. If Saquon Barkley is, or if Ashton Jonte is the 10th overall pick, gets that exact same contract that the 10th overall pick got last year and is making $7+ million a year guaranteed. So he's already a top 10 running back contract. And so one of the things and I hate reducing players to surplus value. And if the guy's a good football player, he's a good football player. You don't want to get hung up on that too much, but he has to produce like a top 10 running back immediately just to meet the value of his rookie contract.
Yeah.
Let alone exceed it as most rookie contracts do. Now, on the other hand, this is not a normal draft where, for instance, you know, when the Falcons took Bijan Robinson, when you have a Darnell Wright coming short after, we had other good players in that draft right there at premium positions that I felt really good about. Like, the odds that Bijan Robinson was going to produce more surplus value for the Falcons than those guys that came after him were going to produce surplus values for their teams, in my opinion, was low. And I think it has been low. Even though he's been really good, he was incredible last year. Bijan Robinson had an incredible year last year, and it added up to fuck all.
Yeah.
Absolutely fuck all. So in this year's draft, you know, I think the gap between Ashton Jonte and the value that the players that might be taken instead is much smaller. I don't think, you know, am I super confident that Tyler Warren is going to immediately produce enough to justify taking a tight end that high? Not really. Am I confident that some of the edge prospects that might be there at 10 are going to produce at all? No, not really. Is there necessarily even going to be a tackle worth taking there that, you know, that's a premium position? No, not really. So that makes this a bit more palatable of a discussion with Jonte, because it's like, well, that gap's smaller. But then again, the bar is so high to be successful if you're a running back. Pick that high. You have to perform. And that's a ludicrous thing to put on. I mean, imagine any other position being like, this is a bad pick if he is not immediately a top 10 player at his. And honestly, to produce excess value, you need to be the top 5 player at his position. So, like, this is a bad pick if he's not immediately a top 5 player at his position. It'd be insane to talk about any other position in the draft like that, except for, you know, Poles using a 4th-round pick on a punter from Australia who's 30 years old.
Hell yeah.
That's one of the few times that you can say that. And I don't think Torrey Taylor even did that. So,
how dare you?
How dare you
talk about Torrey Taylor at all? You keep his fucking name out of your mouth, Kyle.
Never say his name again. And I've weighed all of this back. And then also there's the fact that this running back class is deep. And is the gap between Ashton Jonte and a guy that you might get at pick 39 so great that you can't pass him up? I don't know. And all of these things are weighing.
I would say hard no in this draft.
Quite possibly.
I think to me it comes down to that. It comes down to who's around him in the draft. I think defensive end, there are going to be some good guys there in the second round. Like, quality guys you can put at edge. I think running back, quality guys. Guys who you're going to be RB1 from day one. You're going to be happy with them in the second round. I think offensive line, guard tackle prospects. I don't think it's that way. Like, I think you're hoping Gray Zabel, you know, is still there or something like that. And that's pretty desperate. So, you know, you want the Bears to take best player available, I think, in this draft. But also, like, all things being equal, I think you would rather have the offensive line there with number 10 if you have to take it, and then running back second round.
Yeah, I think where I'm at on a potential Jaunty pick at 10 is that it's still not the pick that I personally would make. I won't be angry about it. It'll be entirely nonplussed. I'll just blasé. Yeah. I have ennui about it. I have accepted that, like, that's a thing that you could do there. Now, if they traded up to make that move somehow,
yes,
I'd be furious. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, fine, if you can fucking, and it'll also kind of depend for me. I'm almost putting those first three picks for the Bears together in one lump. Like, at the end of pick, because it's 10, 39, and 41. At the end of pick 41, you should have, in my opinion, probably secured a running back, an interior offensive lineman, and a defensive lineman in those first three picks. Now, if it's Ashton Jaunty and you end up getting a Gray Zabel type, and then you get JT Tuiamalu, to, you know, name you've been dropping for two fucking years.
You know that's the one that I want.
If you got those three guys, am I happy with that haul overall? Yeah. So I'm not gonna, and then I'm not gonna argue with a spreadsheet over the value of where, who was picked where and all that. So I'm probably wait to really hold my opinion on how till I see how all three of those picks play out. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's not the pick I would make, but I have accepted that it's a pick you could make there. And this is probably the year, even if I don't think it's the most defensible idea in history. It is the year in which it is the most defensible to do such a thing compared to past years. Like Bijan Robinson, I remember we dismissed them out of hand, but there were some people trying to start Bijan Robinson to the Bears rumors a couple years ago. And that would have been, if Bijan Robinson had been on the board and they had taken him instead of Darnell Wright, I would have gotten arrested that night for fighting someone's grandma, like inevitably. That's how red, mad, and nude I would be.
The whole chairs would have been screaming and crying.
Chairs would be flipped. Like, there's no, I would be, yeah, there's no denying that. In this, I'm just going to be like, well, that's going to look pretty cool, I guess. Like, Caleb Williams handing off to that guy. Like, let's just try to enjoy the vibes here, folks. But yeah, that's where I'm at on the Jaunty thing. It's still not the pick I would make if I had my druthers.
We agree. Okay, well, you mentioned you still wanted a running back. We got to take one in the second round then, Kyle. We got a bunch of them.
Well, there's one other guy that I think pretty strongly is going to go in the first round. Who's your RB2? Are you off from the consensus, or are we both agreeing with the consensus on who RB2 in this draft is?
I'm assuming, from what I've seen in mock drafts, RB2 is Omarion Hampton.
That's who I've got. I've got Omarion Hampton. Do you have any quibble with that in any way?
It really depends on what you...
Do you quarrel, sir?
It depends on what you want, I guess. This is such a strange pile of running back prospects. I feel like all of them have this stigma about them where it's like, can he catch a pass? And then from everything I've seen, it's like, yeah, they just don't throw it to him. Like, I think he can catch a pass. It seems okay. Should I be a homer about this? I can tell you who I think the second best running back of this draft is, but I feel like I'm biased for Caleb Johnson.
You have him as RB2?
I do. I have thoughts about Caleb Johnson. I have thoughts, Kyle.
Okay, well, he's RB. He's RB.
He's going six? fifth right now.
He's sixth for me. Yeah, I got him RB6. Yeah, that's something. Okay.
He had a bad 40 number, which is going to push him down the board, which is great. I think that's fantastic if the Bears want to grab him at 41. Here's my pitch about Caleb, Kyle. You know DeAndre Swift? Would you like the exact polar opposite of DeAndre Swift in every way? Would you like a guy who mostly reminds me of Matt Forte? That's Caleb Johnson. He is a tall dude who hits the hole very hard, makes strong, decisive cuts into the hole. No wasted motion on this dude. Like, much better top-end speed than that 40 suggested. This dude goes fast once he gets going. And he can catch the ball just fine. You did not want to see the Iowa passing attack last year or the year before. I'm so sorry.
Or the year before that. When was the last time you did want to see the Iowa passing
attack? It was Nate Stanley, Kyle. It was Brian Ferentz and Nate Stanley. That was the last time. Anyway, Caleb Johnson will not be the guy who's going to cut it back. In fact, he is completely incapable of that, all right? He runs to the hole.
You're really telling me on this guy is RB2. You are. Oh,
he goes, yeah. Bam. If the hole is not big enough, he simply makes a tiny adjustment and keeps firing through the hole. There is no stopping. There is no, I'm going to wiggle around. I'm going to go around the outside. And here's the thing about that. This is exactly what Ben Johnson wants in a dude. Ben Johnson is looking at Caleb Johnson, and he is saying, first of all, great last name, kid. I love it. Second of all, Caleb, I need a guy who I am going to hand the fucking ball to and who is going to blast through the hole that I provide for him, all right? And then I need you to be able to make two quick, decisive jukes on defensive backs. Not big, not I'm going to make a spin move. I'm going to throw it out this way and cut across the field because his offense doesn't work like that. He wants you to keep going down that same path, and that's Caleb Johnson. So that's my pitch for the Bears taking Caleb with 41, probably. I think that would still probably be a little high as far as value goes for Caleb because that 40 was so bad. He ran like a 4.6, like, which is obviously not indicative. If you watch this motherfucker play in college, he does not have 4.6 speed. He is fast. He is outrunning safeties. He's outrunning corners. Like, sometimes you have a bad time running a 40-yard dash. It is what it is. That's my pitch for him with Ben Johnson. Now, do I think, like, if you take Travion Henderson, you're going to be upset and he's not going to work in that offense? Absolutely not. Do I think if you take Quinshon Judkins that he's just not going to work with Ben Johnson's offense? Absolutely not. But I think if you're picking somebody and you're tailor-making them for Ben Johnson, I think Caleb Johnson is that dude in this draft because that's what he does. He reminds me of Matt Forte and just the way he is tall. He like runs straight up through the hole. He makes these little adjustments and then he's got a 20 or 30 yard gain. It's not the big showy Ashton Junty, like, you know, I'm over here. I'm over there. I'm spinning, you know, all these different types of moves. It is a very subtle running back game, I guess. And I think that's going to work well for Ben Johnson's offense. Now, if I'm going overall prospect, if you don't have Ben Johnson as your head coach and offensive coordinator, am I taking Caleb Johnson over Omarion Hampton or either Ohio State guy? No, I am definitely not.
Okay, that's all right.
But
that's
I think this offense for the Bears, I think that's the guy they should get.
Okay, all right. Well, because we managed to get a whole half hour into this with on the running backs alone, which is
we're doing great, Kyle.
I'm not gonna debate all these guys in length. So I'm just gonna throw out my rankings, and you can holler if anything.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay, obviously, I got Johnty at number one. I got Hampton at two. I really like Quinshon Judkins. I have him three. I have Henderson at five. Although I will say, that guy does give me a little bit of the DeAndre Swift vibes, and that I'm like, oh man, you have all of the tools of a fantastic running back, but you have no vision. It's just not there.
Yeah.
I actually really like RJ Harvey too. He was a good dude.
Who's RJ Harvey? I don't know who that is.
UCF, I believe. UCF.
I thought you were going to say Scadaboo the way you've been talking about it.
I do have Scadaboo right after that. Caleb Johnson.
You love a slow motherfucker who produced in college, all right?
I have him as running back six. I don't know that how much love that is, but like, yeah, I mean, he's something.
RJ Harvey. I haven't looked at him at all. I'll have to check him out. We'll have to see.
You check him out.
Okay, I'll check him out.
And then really after Caleb, it kind of falls off a cliff. The last guy I bothered to rank was the younger Etienne, but I wouldn't want him. So
yeah.
That's where I'm at on the running back. So yeah, I mean, it's a good class though. I mean, the story is really,
there's Junty at the top and then there's like five guys. And if you get one of those guys, you're feeling pretty good. You've got a good running back.
I would, I would be, as I've already said my feelings about Jonty at 10, if they somehow managed to pull out like a miraculous trade down and dropped into like the 20s and wanted to take Omarion Hampton there, I wouldn't be super upset about like that. Otherwise, Judkins, Harvey, Henderson, Scadaboo, Caleb, those are all guys I'd be happy with in that range from 41 to 72 if they pulled that off. But yeah, it's a good class. But that's the thing about a good class of running backs. There's just not that much to say about it. They run their backs. That's that. So yeah. Now, wide receivers in this class, Travis. Yeah. Wide receivers. This to me, and I can throw back to the 2023 class. I do think there are two legit first round wide receivers in this class that I think could be a team's number one wide receiver someday. I think there's a second guy that I think is going to be just an outstanding number two with potentially number one upside, but that feels very safe bet that this guy's going to be a good number two in the NFL. And then after that, it just drops off a fucking cliff. Yeah. There's like three guys I'd consider in round one, and the next time I'd even think about a wide receiver is like maybe at pick 72. Maybe. Wouldn't be my first choice even then.
I mean, in this draft, maybe a bit higher. In last year's draft, absolutely. Like, we're talking fourth-round guys.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, even it's a little bit to Tet McMillan. If he was in last year's wide receiver class, where's Tet McMillan for you? And I like Tet. I do. But where is he for you in last year's class?
I've only ever heard people call him T-Mac, so I just stick with that. I like him, but he's the exact wide receiver that I like. You know, this is my type of guy.
Oh, I know. You love a big X.
Yeah. This is
you and my boy
Jeffrey. This is Alshon Jeffrey, right?
You
here.
And my boy Nate Tice always falling in love with those big X receivers. So.
Oh my God, this guy, he is so fun to watch. But I would have had him after Roma Dunze. I would have had him. I think if you took him in the middle of the first round last year, I think that's a completely respectable.
I think I would have had him. I think I would have had him wide receiver 5 last year. I think it would have been, for me, it was Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Odunze, Brian Thomas Jr., and then I would have had Tet.
Knowing me, I would have had him a little bit over Brian Thomas, just because of who they are.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I would have been like, he's huge. He catches everything. He's kind of slow, but it's fine.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But yeah, he's good. We talked about this last year, the year before. I can identify a can't miss wide receiver. And then beyond that, I am 50-50. I'm right there with you guys. I have no additional insight. And I would say T-Mac is a slam dunk wide receiver. I would be happy to take him and just set him on either edge and just let him run his beautiful routes and catch every ball that I throw to him. I have no qualms with that. He's not going to take the top off the defense, but you know how many guys, how many GMs have been trapped by guys with top end speed? Wide receiver. I mean, it's going to be history.
Should be real interesting to see where the Texas guy goes. Cause I'm not a huge fan of him.
You and I both seem to agree. He's not going to be good.
I don't. Yeah. Well, and like, I mean, and the numbers are not great either. Like, none of the wide receiver metrics that I like to look at from PFF in terms of like, specific, I like to look at their grade. I always like to look at their grade versus man coverage. I like to look at contested catch rate. I like to look at yards per route run, all that stuff. I mean, just nothing in that golden from Texas.
Yeah,
golden. Nothing in there screams to me like a successful NFL wide receiver in that guy's profile. Yeah, no, I mean, and then number two, I think we both said the same thing on this guy. You shouldn't overthink Luther Burden. That's just a good wide receiver. Like, is he an elite wide receiver? Probably not, but like, that's a first round wide receiver. Don't overthink. Do you need a wide receiver? Take Luther Burden. It's not that, just take Luther Burden. You'll be happy. You'll be happy with that. It's good.
Yeah, there was an article that I sent to you immediately because it just felt like how this draft was going, exactly how I felt. And it was like, please don't overthink Will Johnson and Luther Burden. Just take them. You know, and that's how I feel about this draft. Like, they're not going to fail. They're going to be good.
Luther Burden actually kind of reminds me of a slightly, like, bigger Zay Flowers. And I was a big fan of Zay Flowers. Yeah. So, like, that's, I mean, just don't overthink Luther. And that was not a good Missouri passing offense in terms of the quarterback play the last couple of years, and he still managed to shine, in my opinion. So, yeah, don't ever think Luther Burden. And then, again, another guy that you think, I know, is suffering from prospect fatigue because we've been looking at this guy for several years.
He's always been in college forever.
Well, and to be fair, he's always been wide receiver two on his own team. He played second fiddle to Marvin Harrison Jr., and then he played second fiddle this year, of course, to oh, my God. I feel like I'm a little worried we're going to look back at these episodes of the Scottcast and be like, this is when Kyle just started to develop dementia, because I've been struggling with names lately.
This is when his brain melted.
The kid at Ohio State, he was really good this year. He'd be the first overall pick if he was in this draft.
Wasn't the young one at Alabama?
Ohio State? Well, there's one at Alabama, too, but... It's also.
Was there another 17-year-old receiver? I got Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah. Have you not watched Jeremiah Smith?
I was going to say Carnell Tate is the guy who's in next year's draft, right?
Did you not watch any Jeremiah Smith this year, son?
Ohio State at all.
You just avoided Ohio State entirely? Okay, well, you should watch Jeremiah Smith.
I didn't even watch the playoffs. I kind of avoided all that stuff. And when I've been watching Ohio State film, I have been focusing on their offensive linemen on offense, and then on defense, their defensive linemen, so I haven't looked at their receivers at all.
Well, you should go look at some Jeremiah Smith, because if that dude was in this year's draft, man, he would be a top four. He might be the second overall pick. Hands down.
He was a freshman this year, right? He was Alabama kid.
Fucking good.
So that 2 years good. From 2 years from now, 2027 is going to have some legit wide receivers.
It's going to be another really good one. So Egbuka's played second fiddle to Jeremiah Smith. He played second fiddle to Marvin Harrison Jr. But at the same time, that's just a good, solid wide receiver. I think I think if an NFL team chose to feature him, he has low end number one upside, but I think the safest bet in this draft, in my opinion, is that man being a solid number two wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we agree on that. I thought you were going to come out of left field with some stats that bury Emeka.
No. I think if anything, the stats show that he's being underrated.
Okay.
He's a very good player.
A lot of Ohio State prospect fatigue in this draft. Just a ton. Like, people just decided that Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimalo are just, like, they're in the second round, guys. Like, for some reason, I'm sorry, you're going to the second round, all of you. Everybody at Ohio State who stayed to get $3 to $4 million in NIL money for an extra year, we don't want you anymore. But, yeah, I agree that, like, word for word with what you said, I think – there's a chance there that he's a top target and a good offense. But yeah, he's guaranteed to be a solid option. Great possession guy. Like, and if you can fall back on that as a rookie going into the NFL, you're going to have a decent career. I think Ibuka certainly will.
I guess.
Do we have any other wide receivers? Just to
tie this in a little bit, like, how would you feel if the Bears are sitting there at 10? And Poles is like, all right, fuck it. The best player on the board is Tet McMillan. Let's just do it. How'd you feel about that? How'd you feel about Luther Burden?
That's interesting. That's interesting because you could move DJ Moore to the slot. That's possible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's real good there. And then your outside is Odunze and T-Mac. Like, that's pretty good, but I would rather just take Burden. I think at that point.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be mad at McMillan. I'd be like, yeah, sure. The wide receiver one at 10. Who cares? Well, it'll sort itself out. But I think Luther Burden sort of fits more of what they're missing right now and would be a better fit. So I'd be happy with that too. But I mean, I don't think the Bears are taking a wide receiver. I really don't. But that would be kind of a fun twist on draft night, as we spent all this time looking in the trenches, and then they just surprised everyone. Be like, well, I mean, wide receiver one in the draft at 10, that seems like good value any year. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys that I have first round grades on, and they're good first round grades. I feel confident in any one of them as a top.
And to be clear again, because I really don't want to get dunked on for this, both of us agree that Travis Hunter should be playing corner in the NFL and not playing wide receiver.
I mean,
that is why he's not on this list.
I mean, all right, let's just talk about Travis Hunter right now. I think, so I watched Travis Hunter. I see a dude who is already, I think, got the skills of a very good shutdown corner.
Yes.
And like actual, like refined skills, technique, et cetera. And from what I've heard, he sat in on the defensive meetings at Colorado, not the offensive meetings. That is a guy that I think can step in, be a starting outside corner in the NFL as a, and just be really good at it.
Yeah.
As a wide receiver, I think he's, I mean, just skill wise, talent wise. Oh yeah. He's got he'd probably in just in terms of pure ability, the number one wide receiver in this class. But at the same time, I don't see a lot of crisp route running on from him yet. I don't see a lot of technique. Most of his highlight reel plays are just kind of long bombs. Most of how he won at Colorado was just, hey, I'm bigger, stronger, and faster than you, lol.
Yes.
And which is not to say that he couldn't succeed in the NFL as a wide receiver, and I think he'll be successful in kind of a gimmick role and as a deep threat. But I think if you want him to be a wide receiver, you got to drop the corner thing entirely. You have to actually, you got to set him in the offensive meetings full time. You got to get him to practicing his route running. And I think if you're committed to the two-way thing, you are committed to Travis Hunter, defensive back, who moonlights as a wide receiver. You're committed to the full Deion Sanders. All-time Hall of Fame caliber corner. I mean, that's a huge thing. All-pro corner who dabbles on offense sometimes versus wide receiver who dabbles on defense sometimes. That's what I think you got to do with Travis Hunter.
Yeah, it would be such a spectacular waste to focus Travis Hunter at wide receiver when you could just draft him and have a number one corner, like just this spectacular athlete, like you said, shutdown corner, you know, almost from day one, just like a preternatural talent on that side of the ball, just so you could like try him at wide receiver and like really work at refining him and maybe making him into a great wide receiver one day. Just put him as CB1 and be done with it. And please don't think about the wide receiver thing. Yeah, a couple, like a gadget play here or there, I understand. I almost would be terrified to do it because I would rather keep him healthy. You talked about tread on the tires for Ashton Jonte. Talk about the tread on the tires for Travis Hunter. This dude has been playing every snap of every game almost for Colorado for 2 years. And he's just like, whatever, I'm fine. We can go do it again. Like, I hate to break it to you, man. You can't. At some point, this is going to give way. And he is really that talented on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, don't waste him at wide receiver, the NFL. The Colorado wide receiver I'd like, my deep cut wide receiver, is Jimmy Horn Jr. in the later rounds of the draft. That is the one guy late rounds. I like that guy a lot. Really crisp route runner. Like, you know, decent speed, like average wide receiver speed. But, man, if you want a guy who's going to catch the ball on third down, that's probably a steal. He's going to end up in, like, the fifth, sixth round or something like that. So there's my deep wide receiver cut. But, yeah, pretty much everybody else after this point I am down on. Like you said, Golden, I'm not there. I think Isaiah Bond is in this draft as well. Both Texas wide receivers can take a hike. The next guy on the board, I think, is Higgins from Iowa State. That makes me want to vomit. The idea
Jaden Higgins would probably be my first guy after those guys. But I mean, you and I talked about Jaden Higgins, and I was like, yeah. Think about Jaden Higgins, the archetype that he is, because he's not going to win with speed in the NFL at all. He's big. He's a good route runner, good release. I like him. He's a very good wide, truly a good wide receiver in terms of how he plays the position. But either he's got enough juice or he doesn't. And he's one of those guys that's like, either he's going to be a serviceable starting X in the NFL, or he's going to be absolutely fucking nothing. It's not a guy that you can move over into the slot and squeeze a little value there. Not a guy that you can use as a, you know, as a deep threat on some play. This is a guy that's either he's a starting every down, can run block for you, can run routes for you, can run slant for you.
Yeah, moving him to special teams. Yeah, this is a dude either, who plays one spot.
Yeah, either he's a starting wide receiver or he's nothing, and that's a tough value proposition for a dude above like round three. I think it's 72. You can take a chance on a guy
with a late round two, high round three grade. Your bet is that he's going to be a starting wide receiver in the NFL. That's tough.
And then after that, like, I just don't love any of these guys. And again, they're not. This is not 2023. This is not the draft where you can get a Josh Downs in round two, or you can get, you know, any of those guys. They're looking at, you know, these are, there's more Jaden Higgins types, you know, Alec Iemanuor, Stanford. That guy, another one, either he's going to be a successful NFL, like a big X, or he's just a complete waste of a pick. And I don't know that I see enough to feel confident that he's going to be a successful NFL X. Jack Beck from TCU. Nate, I was listening to Nate Tice earlier today, who said his route tree was like the British royal family. There were no branches. Like, which is one of the best things I've heard anyone say about wide receiver prospect in here.
Jack Beck is exactly what he looks like, and I'm going to leave it at that.
So I do kind of like the
guy who I kind of my interest is piqued by was Jalen Royals, like third round. Not kind of like decent speed, good, okay slot receiver maybe.
Royals would be a guy that would introduce me. It would interest me at 72 if he's there. Same with Kyle Williams from Washington State. Those are the two guys that I kind of like. And that, okay. But otherwise, yeah. I mean, Xavier Restrepo. I was admittedly kind of interested in him as like a third round option until he ran a 4.8. I can't.
Yeah.
I could stretch. I could have maybe argued for you in the third round on like a 4.6 Xavier, but 4.8.
Of the most disastrous 40s I've ever seen run.
Yeah, just in terms of like, just completely tanking a guy's stock.
Like Caleb Johnson came back with a 4.57, and it felt like he had been shot in the chest. And Xavier Restrepo is out here with a 4.83 as a wide receiver.
Yeah, it's not what you want. It's oof. Sorry, I mean, bud. So like that's like if he's there in round five, whatever, give it a shot. But like, whew, completely tanked. I'm trying to find it. What was also he had a very funny quote then. He tweeted, "P.S. Time to put a ball down and play man versus man. No more stopwatches." After he I'm just like, yeah, those are what are things you say after you ran a 4.8.
You know how like last year we talked about tight ends a lot. We can transition over there if you want. But one of the things we said is like, if all you're doing is catching the ball as a tight end and you're not really a blocking tight end at all, if you're really just lining up, standing up and running routes, then aren't you just a really slow, tall wide receiver?
Right.
And for Xavier Restrepo, you're slower than all the tight ends in this draft, dude. So I don't know what you do here.
Yeah. That's.
So Kyle, you have been you've been looking at the top two tight ends in this draft because you're just like, I don't know, are the Bears going to draft a fucking tight end? And it hurts me because my boy Cole Kmet has been digging in the dirt for this Bears team for years. It seems like you and I agree on the top two tight ends of this draft.
Yeah, well, I think everyone agrees on who the top two are. It's Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. I think you and I are maybe a little bit out of the consensus in that I think we would rather have Colston Loveland than Tyler Warren.
Predictable, if you've listened to us the last 2 years.
I mean, it's pretty hard to tell in that Michigan offense because, again, their passing offense was really broken this year. Yeah. But Loveland, to me, is a dude that does have actual separation ability, that is a really good route runner. I don't know that he's ever going to be much of an inline guy. But you know, I like him enough. And Tyler Warren, and I say this very nicely, to me, Tyler Warren is just kind of a better Cole Kmet in some ways, where you look at a guy that's like, he's pretty to very good at almost everything you want a tight end to do, but I don't know if he's great at any of them. Like, I don't see a Travis Kelce up there in a Tyler Warren, and I'm not saying I see it in Colston Loveland either, but I also think when you look at Ben Johnson and the type of tight, I mean, this is a guy that was instrumental in trading away TJ Hockenson to then take Sam LaPorta. We were like, but Sam LaPorta is a bit faster than TJ Hockenson. He's a bit more of a route runner than TJ Hockenson. He's not the bully ball kind of guy that TJ Hockenson is. And I think Cole Kmet's, you know, he's more in that true inline mold of a Hockenson type guy, where I think you could see a Loveland more in that LaPorta role. And so that's why I'm thinking maybe the Bears could go tight end there. I wouldn't love it either. But again, we'll get into this when we get into the defensive line, but there's really only one pick the Bears, I think, could make at 10 that would just make me absolutely pissing mad in a draft this crappy. I think if they go tight end, I do think it's Loveland. I don't know if they'll agree with this. If they were to go tight end, I would prefer they go Loveland than Tyler Warren. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I agree with that. God help them if they go tight end. I don't see a reason to do that. Not for these two guys. My dog is having a dream down there making noises. I don't think these are the two guys to do it for. I think if you put these guys in last year's draft, end of the first round, beginning of the second, middle of the second round, maybe? These are the guys who would be in that consideration, right? In this draft, they're going to go pretty high because,
My guess is actually that Tyler Warden is off the board by the time the Bears pick.
There's a good chance.
I think he might be the Jets pick right there. So,
I don't see any reason that wouldn't be the case because this is just that kind of draft. Like these are guys who, like I said, last year I could have seen these guys going like 38, 39, 40. And I would have been like, that was a good place to pick them. And in this draft, you're going to see him go somewhere between 8 and 18, both of them. And I'm going to be like, who the hell else are you going to take? The tight end that's going to work out, you know? Both guys could use refinement in the blocking game, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Are basically receivers.
Yeah, I'm not here to defend Colston Loveland's blocking so much as to say that I think Tyler Warren's blocking is being oversold a little.
It is.
But like he's a complete tight end, and I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't think he's going to be a liability as a blocker, but I don't see a dude who's that Rob Gronkowski ain't walking through that door. Yeah.
I agree with that completely. Now, Kyle, what about this?
I don't know.
You mentioned Ben Johnson has had two Iowa Hawkeye tight ends in his lifetime. There's a Hawkeye tight end in this draft who, because of an injury in 2023 and because of Iowa's non-existent passing game this last year, has just fallen all the way down to the sixth round. Luke Lachey is an easy pick. He's really fucking good, and he's not going to get any views. So, God, if you want a tight end in this draft and you have a keen eye towards the Hawkeyes, I just wait till the sixth round. Take Luke Lachey. You're going to be great. You've already got Cole Kmet on the team, dude. I don't understand the idea of taking a tight end. And as I say that, I think about everybody else who's in this draft. And as we're going to get into next week, Kyle, there are some people on the defensive line we might like taken there. There are some people on the defensive line we might really, really not like taken there. There are some defensive backs maybe we'd like to see taken there. Tight end just really, it's really not what I want.
And the one thing I'll say about both the running back, the potential running back and the tight end pick is that some of my anger would be potential anger at such a pick would be mollified by the fact that like everything done this off. What have we always said? We just want to see a new Bears regime come in one time with a young quarterback and move heaven and earth to put that kid in a situation where he almost can't fail instead of putting him in a position where it looks like he's set up to fail. So if you went out and you got Ben Johnson and you went out and you got those guards and you went out and you got the top center in free agency and you were like, fuck it, let's throw a running back on the pile. Let's throw another tight end on the pile. Let's just surround this kid with so much goddamn talent, even if it's not the quote-unquote smartest use of our resources. Let's do it. Every move that's a move in favor of Caleb Williams' development is it's defensible from that standpoint. So, I'm not... Again, we'll get into it next week or whenever the next time we're recording is the defensive line stuff. But there's only one pick at 10 that I'm, other than something insane like a quarterback that obviously isn't happening. There's only one pick at 10 that I think is a possibility that would still just actively piss me off.
Yeah. Well, that's a great.
And there's
team.
Also at that range, there's also none that I think are going to make me super happy either. I think if it's Will Campbell at 10, I'll be like, all right, yeah, I feel good about him fitting in somewhere on our offensive line over the next couple of years. I think if it's Kelvin Banks, I'll be like, yeah, again, same thing. If it's, I think it's just those two. I think that's about it. So
I think that's it.
Yeah. That might be it, yeah. So, yeah. If something insane happened, it was Abdul Carter or, Mason Graham fell or whatever, I'd be like, okay, cool, awesome. I just don't think that's going to happen, so...
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't want to say too much about the defense because we're going to talk about that next week. I have a lot more enthusiasm for defensive line, the defensive backs.
I mean, I will. I definitely have stronger takes on some of the defensive linemen than I have on some of the guys we discussed tonight. There's really not a lot of super strong, like, but there is one guy we'll talk about that I'm just like, don't fucking make this mistake. This is one of the most easily, one of the most frequent draft mistakes, one that I call out every time, one that would make me so fucking mad if they did it. So we'll get into that next time.
Get your bets in on who the defensive end Kyle hates in this draft is, folks. Put them in the comments.
Don't even... Why'd you have to give away that it's a defensive end? Maybe it was a defensive tackle that I had this hot ticket. Maybe it was linebacker central that I was raging about. I don't know.
Kyle, we started this episode with you being like, defensive tackle pretty good this draft. So no, we know it's end. All right, put it in the comments below. We'll send you a pizza roll.
Post a comment. Post a comment in this web zone. Email me if you want a pizza roll.
Email Kyle. We'll send you both, all of you, anybody who comments the correct name, a pizza roll. We'll see you next week.
I put it in the mail. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago. And people I sure do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.